Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of this show wants to know. That's the law firm Condorian Murrah. They'll help you to draft a last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. The Nationals lost today already in our time slot. Took over after that. They got swept by the New York Mets, the cream of the crop in the NL East, the best team in the National League at 45-24. For the Nats, that is 5 straight losses in 8 of 10. They're back to 8 under .500. The Wolves are at the door a little bit. Understandably, you know, they said they're ready to win. Davey, before this series, said something to the effect of, if the message doesn't get through and guys don't start producing, we're going to make changes. I don't really know what that meant or who he was talking about, but since then, they went on a 22-inning stretch where they didn't score a run and they lost all 3 of the games that they played. So we're taking your calls now on the state of the Nats and, frankly, this lineup, 800-636-1067, any changes or adjustments that you think you would make. I'm on record as saying call up Brady House, and let's start there and see where it gets us. But I want to go back to the caller's point at the end of the hour, because we were up against the clock. We didn't have a chance to respond. But he said, essentially, that the Nats for several years have not drafted or developed well enough. That is an understatement.
That, yeah, there's no way to properly quantify that with just like a minute or two on a phone call. I mean, yeah.
Correct. I mean, this is something that we've talked about for years. Ken Rosenthal wrote a big piece about this. Just last week, or maybe now it's been 2 weeks ago. My response to that piece when we talked about it on this show was that while I don't think anything he said was not factual, I didn't really understand the timing of it. It's the equivalent of, you know, going up and giving a tongue lashing to an overweight person for how they're not taking care of their health and how fat they are after they've lost 25 pounds. They still got a lot of weight to lose, but they've lost 25 pounds. The Nats have done a better job drafting. They've done a better job developing in the last couple of years than in the many, many years before that. But if you want to take a 10-year look from a 15,000-foot helicopter view down on the draft history, it's bad. The development, it has not been good enough. The question that I ask is, if we all know and see that there's a lack of money spent on players, like the part of the house that we see from the exterior, the siding, the shutters, the windows, we know that's not being upkept. And in this hypothetical, Danny, the draft is the furniture in the house and player development is, you know, the interior walls and flooring. How do we know that they're not also being cheap there and it's not costing them? In other words, everyone says either the people that are doing the developing, the people that are doing the drafting are bad. Well, many of them have been changed, by the way. They're a couple of years into a very, very new look front office here in terms of draft, development, system, all of that stuff. They have new people that are going to be in, I think, their third year running the draft. And you know, in the player development department, Eddie Longos is in his second year doing it. They've reworked so much of the organization over the last several years, and it has gotten, the results have gotten better, clearly. Still got a long way to go. But I guess my point is, are we sure that when they ask for a pitching lab, they get it? When they ask for the biomechanics plates they need to work through things like the San Francisco Giants made famous, that they get it? Are we sure when they won a Rapsodo or an Edutronic 10 years ago that they got it? I don't know the answer to that. So
I'm inclined to think no.
I'm here to tell you, yes, the results were not good enough, are not good enough. They've got to keep getting better in that regard. And we could go piece by piece through players if you want to. But I think people assume that that means like, oh, well, Rizzo or, you know, name Johnny DePuglia, who's gone, or Chris Klein, who's gone, or, you know, any of these other people, Doug Harris, who's gone, or Deshaun Watson, who's gone, you know, had these roles, were really, really bad at what they did or something. Maybe. I'm not telling you they weren't. I don't know.
If the point is net net at the end of the day, when I go, all right, I'm looking back and it's Giolito, Johansson, Stevenson, Keboom, Romero, Denneberg. That's not good enough. Correct. I got no unbelievable, surprising fourth rounder that makes it to the major leagues, becomes a star. I, you know, there are silver bullets. There's the Juan Soto story, right? Where, you know, this was a huge deal, a win for them. This is the international signings, a place where they really, really struggled. This guy comes through, turns into a star right away. So for every one of those, it masks kind of the inefficiency or inability to find the next gem.
Well, the trades, man.
Right?
Thank God for the trades. And in this case right now, it's the Soto deal. James Wood, C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, Robert Hassel, who you're seeing at the major league level, and Harlene Susana to a lesser extent, who adds depth in the minor leagues, is one of their top pitching prospects. But where would they be without that trade?
Precisely. And I'm blanking on some of the names because I've forgotten about them. The guys that they spent decent money on, international signings that aren't close to being major leaguers. Kind of, you know, this is all still post-Smiley Gonzalez, which is a pretty low nadir for this organization. So drafting, developing, everything under the sun was not good enough for a long time. I think it's turned a corner now, and you're going to see some of the fruits of that labor over the next several seasons. But if your point is looking back, retrospective style, from say 2023, you know, to, you know, post Harper or post Rendon, yeah, there's a gaping vacancy of what should have happened to replenish this organization. And a couple of guys that would have come up and helped the big league club are helping other clubs. And they were used as commodities in trade, whether it's, you know, Jesus Luzardo or Nick Pivetta or a couple other guys. They were currency. I understand that. But that's not an excuse. That's not good enough to say the one good prospect that could fetch you something is now gone. Where's the other 30 to take his place?
Of course. You
know, and that's what was lacking. So the caller's point, I think, is right on. But I don't know that it acknowledges fully, hey, there is an attempt at least to turn the corner. I think you're seeing some results now.
Yeah. My question to his point is, was that it is clearly an organizational failure for that many years to have the limited success in the draft and in development that they did. They would acknowledge that, I would hope. How could they not?
Right.
The question is, why and how did it happen? And if it happened because they're cutting corners and they don't spend enough money on things, and when they ask for things, they don't get it, then it doesn't matter who's calling the shots. You could bring in Andrew Friedman's people from the Dodgers who do a good job. You could bring in Alex Anthopoulos' people from the Braves who do a good job. Less so, I guess, recently. but you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I
like,
do.
And that's the same thing I would say with the hitting coach part of this. Now, if you want to make changes just to make changes, Mike Rizzo says this all the time. He said it again on the Junkies on Wednesday. It's a results business. Wins and losses are how you judge them. And if that is the reality straight from his mouth, then the judgment right now is not good. And it hasn't been good for some time. Because let's not forget, Danny, that this is not year one of this situation with the Nationals, right? As they sit here today struggling. You know, last year and the year before, they were a 71-win team. The year before that, they lost 107 games. Before that, 97 games. Before that, 2020 after the World Series, 8 under .500, didn't make the playoffs. So it's 20, which was not by design, but, you know, the pandemic year. I'll even, frankly, give them a wash on that. Post-World Series, no celebration, you know, the pandemic season, they had the outbreak the first week and all the dumb rules, so whatever. 2021, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the fifth year of this now. And if you go back to the beginning, their point was this is not going to be a very long rebuild. Now, I think some of that was rhetoric and not, you know, authentic to how it was actually going to have to go. But I think the rebuild part of it thanks to the Soto trade, thank God, that's the only reason why, but it actually went very well. The rebuild part of it went very well.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is when you've got Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams now in their prime years, and when you've got James Wood as a young superstar and C.J. Abrams, you know, getting ready to, for maybe a second All-Star game, and you've got, you know, these other young players that are producing and helping you and ascending and getting ready for the major leagues, whether that's Hassel or that's Brady House or anybody else, you've got to supplement with veteran talent. And that's the part they have not done.
Right.
Are they just choosing not to add veteran talent as a front office, or are they not being allowed to? I don't know.
Right. I have a suspicion.
It would be weird if Mike Rizzo said, you guys want me to sign a 30 home run bat for right field
and play
Dylan Cruz in center and make Jacob Young a fourth outfielder? No, I don't think that's the best way forward.
I don't like that. I wouldn't want to do something like that. So, yeah, I mean, the penny pinching ways in that regard lead me to believe and I know I have my bias. So this, I have my hypothesis, rather, of what I think happened over those years. I think nothing was spent on. For a long time, I think there was a lot of neglect, and it was a lot of, we'll figure it out with guts and attack. Well, I want pitchers to be aggressive. Okay, well, can we fine-tune some mechanical things and figure out how to get a guy that was a journeyman Jerry into maybe a major league star with an extra pitch or something in a lab? I don't think those things were happening. Now, do I know that for a fact that I tore every facility? Of course not, but I got my sneaky suspicions based on some of the payroll antics, deferring money. I'm sort of assuming there. I'm ascribing a little bit more blame, in my view, to the purse strings as kind of the reason for a lot of this. And I think now it's starting to change to a degree, but still nowhere near enough.
I mean, their system, if you go back to like 2020 or 2021, was brutal. It just was. Their top prospect, Carter Kieboom, as the caller pointed out, didn't make it. Luis Garcia, who ended up being their top prospect at that time, was number two. He's an okay player. Last year was very good. Jackson Rutledge, first-round pick, is now a reliever. Will Crow, they ended up trading to the Pittsburgh Pirates, is now with the Phillies. Andre Lara is now 22 and in their system. Eddie Yean is with the Pittsburgh Pirates, was part of a deal. You mentioned former first-round pick Mason Denneberg, didn't get out of single A. He's now a wide receiver trying to make it in college football. Tim Cate, Seth Romero, Matt Cronin, Drew Mendoza. I mean, there's no major leaguers here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was 5 years ago. The system now, it's night and day.
So you go back to, for example, 2009, when they took Strasburg one. They had a comp pick based on the year before, and they took Drew Storen. Multiple big leaguers. Jeff Coburn has played in the major leagues. It wasn't great, but Michael A. Taylor was out of that draft, for example, a few rounds later. Like, the point is, it wasn't always this way. They found players. Now, now you look at a draft class, you go, oh my God, they took 25 guys and only three made the big leagues. That's way more normal than kind of what's happened here over the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, where they found players. They drafted Marcus Stroman, who ended up not signing and got drafted the following year. Nate Karns pitched in the major leagues for a while as a mid-round pick. They found players then. The world changed. They didn't change.
Well, here's what it's supposed to look like. It's even easier to describe, I think, the last couple of years where Jake Irvin and Mitch Parker, who were fourth and fifth round picks, end up giving you real major league innings. Irvin's been a legitimate, decent number two starter for the majority of the last couple of seasons, vying with Mackenzie Gore back and forth in terms of earned run average, right? Like, that is supposed to happen. It has to happen. And it didn't here for years and years and years. From like Eric Fetty to Jake Irvin, they didn't really develop an arm that was making starts. I think about, in the same way, you know, Jacob Young in the outfield, who is probably an extra guy, a speed and defense guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a seventh-round pick out of the University of Florida, who's been a helpful major league player for them for the last couple of seasons. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to write a letter home to my parents about that, but literally that was not happening for a long time, the Jacob Young part of it. So to get guys like Young and Parker and Irvin and now Cole Henry and Rutledge, even though he's struggling a little bit, and Lord, like those kind of guys now in the big leagues helping, is progress. It shows that some of the changes that they've made over the last couple of years are working. I also think there was more trades along the way than people remember or acknowledge too. Not that any of the guys ended up becoming stars, right? But like, you know, they trade Daniel Johnson for Yan Gomes. They trade Blake Perkins at one point for Kelvin Herrera. Danny Espinosa gets flipped and they go get multiple players, including a big league reliever for him. Mark Sepchinski came in here for Max Schrock. Obviously, the Steven Souza for Turner and Ross deal was great, but like you know, they had guys in their system that maybe would have gotten to the big leagues.
Yeah, and there were. There definitely were.
Steve Lombardozzi for Doug Fister and that deal that they had with Robbie Ray.
Alex Meyer for Denard Span. I mean, they're quality deals in that regard for sure.
I mean, if you keep Ray and you don't trade for Fister, who was a good player here, that changes all of the math on, like, when's the last time you developed a pitcher?
The
that guy's
Robbie
won a
Ray.
Cy Young Award. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Derek Norris was a good big leaguer for a very short time, but, like, he got traded for Gio Gonzalez. So some, like, this is all years ago, if you're going back from, like, you know, 2011 through 2017, 2018. But my point is, as you said, they have had guys. They have had some success. Then they went through a rut, and the success is starting to happen again. But I'm not going to argue with the point if it's as simple as they drafted poorly for a long time. Agreed. They developed poorly for a long time. Agreed. Facts.
Yep.
I file it into the same category I do my frustration with not going and getting me my bat in the outfield. Not going and getting me my, right, you know, veteran starter. But look, the baseball group has to take some blame too. I'm not saying it's 100-0. Whatever money you're given, you got to use. So this offseason, as an example, they spent, I don't remember what it was, but let's call it, you know, they had $15 million to spend on the bullpen, if that's what it was. They took eight of it, and they spent it on Lucas Sims, who's gone because he was horrendous. Jorge Lopez, who was a hothead, who's gone, who wasn't helpful. And Colin Poche, who couldn't get you or me out because he would walk the yard. It's bad that you didn't get to spend real money on real players. But when you're given that money and you're choosing the 2 or 3 million guys, they also picked the wrong 2 or 3 million guys, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's a fair critique, too. Let's go to Mitch in Jersey. What's up, Mitch?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, bud?
Thanks for taking my call. You know, and for some reason, Toby, I never recognized him. It was a different meeting. But anyway.
What's up, man? What do you got?
Offense. Yeah, offense has to pick up. I mean, I want to see him bring up House. I'm dying to see Dylan. He can pick it up. I think he's going to be a major league maybe star. I'm using it. But I love to get, they got to make a trade, at least one. I'm hearing Corey Seager. I mean, Abrams is good, potential, but he's not having a good year at all. If they need Corey Seager, that will really help our pitching.
Yeah. Seager's under contract for a long time, so he's not
big
coming
money.
Available.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Rangers also won a World Series and are competitive. They're having a down year, but they're not trading him anytime soon. Yeah, Abrams was in a rut for the better part of 3 weeks, but if you look at his numbers in terms of this season and where he ranks among shortstops, he's top five in most categories, you know, among shortstops.
Yeah, OPS over 800. I mean, even with this horrible funk he's been in.
Yeah, so he's not having a bad year at all, actually. He's having a bad month, for sure. Frank's in Great Falls. What's up, Frank?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you got a whole group right up there now that not a one of them controls the strike zone. So Davey's got to do something to shake that up, whether it's sit him or, you know, fire the hitting coach or whatever, because they get up there and they swing at everything. The last out of today's game was a microcosm of K-Bear Ruiz.
Agreed.
He simply will not control the strike zone. He will not swing at strikes. And so what you end up with, they've got two players, CJ and Woods, who are young enough that maybe they can learn to control a strike zone. The rest of them either can't or won't. Over years, they've shown us they can't or won't. And I honestly, they've got two guys, CJ and Woods, who can start, who should be starting on a playoff caliber team. I don't think there's anybody else on the field that's not on the pitching staff that should even be on a playoff contending team at this point.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, the Ruiz point, I think, is a good one, honestly. It is exasperating at times to watch him in RBI spots, wave at a breaking ball out of the zone, take up, you know, one of the axioms I had as a with hitting coaches over the years that would instruct me and teammates and others was the difference between a JV high school hitter, a high school hitter, a college hitter, a pro hitter, et cetera. And the biggest difference is obviously the high-end ceiling and some of the talent and the physicality, the muscles, whatever. But the other part of it is you take your A hack, your best swing the most often. High school kids come out of their A swing all the time. Your head will fly out. You get fooled on a breaking ball, whatever. College kids, less so. Pro hitters, less so. Big leaguers, less so. The stars, you take your A hack. You're better off swinging and missing at a curveball out of the zone, 0-0, than weakly tapping it for the millionth time, a seven hopper to the first baseman, or weakly on your front foot, popping it up on a plus count. Watching him not ever adjust, talking about Ruiz, is exasperating in a lot of cases. I'll just tell you, because the bat to ball is elite. That's a good trait.
And he doesn't swing and miss.
And somehow it's turned into a negative, because in any big situation, all you got to do is spin some Ed Harris Vaseline ball up there and he'll roll over it for you or pop it out for you. It's unbelievable.
So expected batting average right now, the Nationals are third in Major League Baseball in expected batting average. You look at expected slug, you go, yeah, but they just don't drive the ball enough. The ace swing, the damage. They're top 10 in that as well.
Is that right?
Yes.
I would have lost all of my money.
They're sandwiched between the Tigers, the best team in the AL, and the Mariners, who spent most of the first half so far in first place in the AL West. So it's almost like the results are not nearly as bad as we think, but they go through these terrible ruts, and they're really, really inconsistent.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jeff, who's in Herndon. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, great show, you guys.
Thank you.
I love listening to you. And the one thing I was going to think of was, why did we get rid of everybody? Why couldn't we have kept like Trey Turner and Kyle Schwarber to bolster the redevelopment? That's my question.
Say it again. Why did they get rid of them?
Yes. And well, what did we get for them?
Yes. It's a good question. So the Kyle Schwarber trade, they got a pitcher named Aldo Ramirez from the Boston Red Sox, who was injured at the time, who's been injured mostly ever since. That trade did not work. It was a good idea, though. You flipped the guy who was a rental, who was going to leave at the end of the year in free agency. They weren't going to re-sign him because they can't. They haven't spent that kind of money since 2018, maybe? They haven't spent that money in a long, long time. And because they were going to lose him, you're getting the best possible prospect possible. So what they did was they got the number 8 player in the Boston system, a single-A pitcher who was nasty, who was injured, and he's just been hurt ever since. It was kind of a bad luck deal. You took a flyer on a single-A arm, hoping he'd turn into something. Same kind of deal they did with Lane Thomas for Alex Clemmie, who's actually making his way in the minor leagues right now. And if you do that enough, you're going to find some gems.
Yeah, you got to turn over the lottery
thing. So I didn't hate that, but it didn't work out. The Turner deal you look back at now, and that one is going to end up being one they kick themselves on. Because they traded Trey Turner with a year and a half of control left. Max Scherzer was in that deal as well. He was a rental. So even though it's a big name, you're just not going to get a ton for him. But Turner, at a year and a half left, plus a half season of Scherzer to the Dodgers, you got to get a couple of marquee prospects back. And they did at the time. They got a guy in Josiah Gray, who to their credit has been an all-star since, but has Tommy John and is not pitching right now. And is probably like a fourth type starter based on what we've seen, you know, if some things work out. And then they got K-Bert Ruiz, who at the time was a top 100 prospect in baseball. It was pretty good, Danny. You know, two top 100 type guys, an arm and a bat. Now, it was not a bad deal for a year and a half of control of those two guys, because you got a catcher who's been your everyday catcher for like four seasons. And you got Josiah Gray, who after TJ will come back, and if not for Tommy John, would have been in your rotation like every 5 days since the moment of the deal. That's there's value to that.
Yeah, so what's more rare, though, is the Soto deal, where every single player is now like in the Major League lineup playing against Juan Soto two teams later. You know what I mean? Like, that's more rare.
But it is fair to say, like, that deal, what it looked like that day and what it became, two very, very different things.
Absolutely. I think that's 100% right on.
But that's the answer to your question. Right. Why didn't they keep those guys? Turner, they could have. You know, there's never a reason on a non-contending team to keep rentals. I'll even say this year. They don't have anything of real value, but like, flip a rental.
Yeah,
no,
Nathaniel Lugo's on a tear. I'll help you pack your bags.
He's under contract for next year.
That's true.
So I would not trade him, because that's kind of my point is, in fact, definitively, he's my point. I would not trade Nathaniel Lowe because he's under contract next year, and God forbid you ever spend any money, you could actually be okay next year. You're pretty close. But people who are not under contract beyond this year, I would flip, because they're just leaving via free agency anyway. You're not paying them. You're not keeping them. So add to your system. It's how we got here, where the system's really good. And these guys like, you know, Hassel and Dalen Lyle, who they drafted, like, it's creating more competition. Your minor leaguers are getting better because of this. It's a good conversation. I'm happy we could have it.
Good job, everybody.
How about that? Where are we? Boston, New York, or D.C.?
Here we go.
Just breaking down the ball club for an hour, going deep diving into the minor leagues. This has been Bustin' Loose Baseball. I'm sorry. This has been Grant and Danny. You can listen to a Nats pod with all this kind of intel, though. Busting Loose Baseball.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Starring Toby Altizer
right.
and myself.
Right.
Producer Darius Dameron is on the controls of that one, too. Next, let's talk minicamp. There's a football team in town. The Commanders, they're at practice today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks to Toby for the update. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, on the Fan. Minicamp continued today out in Ashburn. Want to get you a little sample of what Dan Quinn had to say to the media. He talked about Noah Brown today. Remember, Brown was carted off the practice field yesterday. We had been awaiting an update. It was brief, and as expected, Quinn didn't give a whole lot of detail, but this is what we got on Noah Brown from the head football coach.
I have no update. I know he's getting an MRI today, this afternoon. So, I don't want to speculate.
On what?
MRI today. Yep.
Okay.
That's about as much kicking the can down the road as you're going to do. He's not going to talk again, to my knowledge, until training camp. So if you could just get through today's press conference, you're not going to have to answer any more questions about Noah Brown for 5 or 6 weeks. And that's exactly what Dan Quinn did. And you heard the follow-up there from John Keim of ESPN. I think he was saying on what, meaning what body part, what got hurt. They still don't know. And Dan Quinn wouldn't even comment or elaborate on that.
Yeah, it's an MRI. On what? On your ear? On your eyes? On your teeth? On your right nostril? Yeah, I mean, there's
head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
I mean, this is it's borderline hockey at this point, like Dan Carberry over there. But yeah, it's a
and you're allowed to do that in the offseason.
Yep.
So do it, whatever. But I don't know. They probably don't have the actual timetable and all of the details, but I bet they got most of them.
They probably know something. So
if there's something very seriously wrong, they probably got enough to know it's going to be a while. But regardless, I guess there's no added benefit to letting people know today. But if he's out for a while, and it's possible, I guess, then they're scrambling over there very likely to get their ducks in a row as to either getting a deal done with McLaurin so that come training camp, you're locked and loaded at wide receiver, or maybe even getting another veteran on the horn.
Are you calling external options? Are you, you know, adjusting plans internally? Was, you know, Luke McCaffrey, I'm making this up, who was not part of, you know, this, that, and the other sub package? Is he now? Like, what's the plan? Those internal conversations, I bet you, are being had.
Dan Quinn talked today about running back Chris Rodriguez. I've always been intrigued by Rodriguez. He was a 6th-round pick for Washington who runs really, really hard. In fact, you know, you could make the case last year, Danny, that as a similar guy to Brian Robinson, he did more with less. He averaged almost 5 yards per carry, scored a couple of touchdowns, and whenever he's gotten a shot, he's excelled.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted a running back in Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt in the 7th round, so now you've got potentially 4 guys ahead of him on the depth chart. He got cut in training camp last year, was on the practice squad for a while. There's no guarantee that he's even going to make the team. This was Dan Quinn on Rodriguez.
Yeah, that was one of the things we discussed for him through the offseason. And he's really applied himself into that to make sure he can be at his absolute best. You're right. He made some really meaningful runs. And so if he could get himself into the best shape he's ever been in, that would give him the best chance for it. It's a very competitive running back room. But looking at the work Chris has done, you know, over the last, you know, 3 months or so, it's been significant.
He's lost a lot of weight, apparently. He's in better shape. I remember the first time I went out to training camp last year in July, one of the first things I'd heard when I was out there was he's kind of fallen out of favor with the staff because they didn't think he showed up. I don't know if you would say, you know, out of shape, meaning football shape or just overweight or whatever, but they didn't like what they saw. Well, by the end of camp and into the preseason, he did enough to hang around. And then eventually, as he got very limited opportunities, he did maximize them. But give him credit because they challenged him, it sounds like, this offseason. Get your butt to mini camp in better shape and look the part. And I guess he did.
Yeah. It's your career, right? It's your choice. I mean, there have been a couple of guys. Think of the Nationals where they've had those kind of conversations. Luis Garcia had a tough conversation with the team and management. Same with CJ Abrams. Here's a fork in the road. What do you want to be? You want to be on the roster or not? Like, we are telling you, here's what we expect. You can get mad about it or you can get to work. Sounds like he did the latter.
So we know that Brandon Coleman's going to play left guard because Dan Quinn told a podcast hosted by Kyle Long as much that he was on this week. So that means Laremy Tunsil, left tackle, Brandon Coleman, left guard, and Tyler Biadasz, center. And then there's some questions on the right side of the line, especially in a world where there's no Sam Cosmi at the beginning of the year coming back from a torn ACL. So this was Quinn asked about the right side of his offensive line.
Yeah, I know that with Sam, you know, he's hitting all the benchmarks, but when does that, you know, get there? I don't know. I'm not there yet to knowing, like, we're not going to miss one step with him. What I do know is that I love the competition that we have on the offensive line right now, you know, at guards and centers and who's playing at right tackle and how are we working through the guys. So it'll take some work as we're going through into training camp. But those are the types of challenges like you want as a coach. It's not like, who in the hell is going to play over here? It's more like this is going to be an absolute battle to see where it goes. So that's most of the time has been my experience, Bram, where like the competition of one another like really pushes us forward and the whole group gets better.
So the right side of the line is now wide open, and I think it's fascinating. You're going to have, in a world where Cosmi's not starting to begin the year, probably Allegretti competing at right guard. Again, this is if Coleman's the left guard, like he said. I'm just taking him
based off that,
word on this podcast interview that he did. And then Josh Connerly would get a crack at right tackle, I would think. The first round pick. Maybe Andrew Wiley is your right guard if Connerly ends up starting from day one at right tackle. And it could be Wiley and Connerly instead of, you know, Allegretti and Connerly or Wiley or something like that if they don't think Connerly's quite ready.
But to Quinn's point, it's a good problem to have. It's better than last year where you're going, can anybody step up and do this? You now go, We got options. Say for the sake of argument, Connerly's not ready day one.
How many really good options? I would say Connerly when it's going good because he's a first-round pick. But otherwise, they're just guys.
Well, let me try to convince you this way then. If Connerly's not ready day one, I got through an entire season last year with the right tackle that's already on my roster who's competing at guard also in Wiley.
Right.
Right? So I also have Allegretti, who I got through a whole season last year at left guard in case the transition for Coleman doesn't go as well. I got Coleman, who played left tackle, at a good enough job. Maybe he can play right tackle for me. My point is I've got more options this year. Not necessarily the highest end. You hope they are high end with when you add Tunsil to the group and if Connerly's as good as advertised. But to me, I think there's a lot more potential there, which I think is obvious. But B, I would feel a lot more secure going into this year than I did last year.
No doubt about that. They're in a way better spot. I just think they have one impact guy on the right side right now until Cosme comes back. So I'm not like doing a dance about how good the right guard position is going to be necessarily. They'll be in a really good spot, I think, if Cosme comes back and Connerly's the real deal. Mm-hmm. Maybe now you've got a well put together line with a couple of new solutions. Tunsil in the trade, Connerly in the draft, Coleman in the draft, Biotish in free agency. I mean, they'll have basically completely rebuilt the thing around Sam Cosme. Grant and Danny, with you on the fan, we'll continue with Dan Quinn's commentary that stood out to us from minicamp next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
The Commanders were on the field at minicamp today. We're going through some of the answers from Dan Quinn that stood out from this press conference. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. I want to look at what he had to say about Jaden Daniels. Signs that he sees that Daniels is growing and has improved off of what was a historical rookie season. This was Dan Quinn on his now second-year QB.
I've always felt he had real control of things, and we work at the line of scrimmage a lot, and he's really comfortable in that. He was always somebody that, you know, really was on his details. What I guess seeing now is just the accuracy, the footwork, so more of his body mechanics that he wanted to emphasize. I see that coming through in his play. I see the speed, you know, that he's, you know, out on the edge with. So those are the things that during the offseason time that, like, you can really push it. So we had one where he had a keeper yesterday, turned it in, you know, where he was up the sideline for 30 or 40 yards, and he was one of the fastest players on the field on that play. And so those are the ones that, okay, that's a person being aggressive to go take their shot. And then I would say the individual time with new players, he did some of that last year, honestly. Like when Noah came, I can remember him like staying after and working with him, but seeing him put in the work with different people who are new to him and to the organization, I think that like speaks of the leadership. It's not anything that I asked him to do, but he knew for that person and him to be in sync, there had to be some unseen work together. And so those would be a few of the things.
I love that turn of phrase, the unseen work together. Anybody can tell you they're working out on Instagram. Anybody can say, let's get it, and post a picture of them or a little video of them sweating when they're running on the beach or pulling a tire or whatever the hell.
Hashtag rise and grind.
You know, everybody's seen that one and people react to it. And it's fun. You know, it's good content, but it's the unseen work. It's the unsexy thing that nobody sees. Are you doing the extra rep in the weight room? Are you doing the extra stretch time in the training room? Are you doing the extra menial rehab exercises and maintenance things to heal your nagging stuff? It's all part of it, dude. And I also love his point talking about Quinn, who's talking about Jaden Daniels. The underrated part from last year, there's a million things, but the ability at the line of scrimmage and to be comfortable with all the noise and all the opposing defenses and all the, you know, Mike linebackers shouting cadences right back at you, people trying to throw you off your game, the cool, calm, and collected to be able to adjust and get you in the right look and do those things like he's a 10-year veteran, like he's Peyton Manning, after several different go-rounds in the league was really impressive.
Dan Quinn with the media today. Let's get into what he had to say about Deebo Samuel. Going through some of this press conference and things that I think are notable you guys would want to hear on Grant and Danny live on 106.7 The Fan. We're going to take you up to 6:30 this evening, and then Linnell is going to have overtime. He's been out there in Ashburn, so he'll have some takeaways, I'm sure, to provide. Let me hear Dan Quinn on Deebo Samuel, getting to see him up close. There's been a lot of talk about Deebo. Some of the pictures, some of the videos coming out, what he looks like running, what he looks like standing there. Is he heavy? Is he not heavy? This is Dan Quinn's early impressions on Deebo Samuel.
Deebo, I think, has been very impressive to me for maybe a different reason than I thought. He was such a difficult person to tackle that you spend so much time. How are you going to tackle this person? And somewhere along the way, I've forgotten until out here, like how fast he is. And so sometimes when you're playing against a receiver, you say, man, you better either get him at the line or you better be on top of him. With him, so many times was there was so many, you know, run after catch plays that we had a tackling plan and how would you go about it? And then I can remember one time, like he just ran by somebody down the field on a deep ball. And I was like, yeah, I forgot about that. So that it didn't surprise me, but it was like, maybe I missed talking about it to that space because it was easily reminded like he's one of the fastest players on the team.
One of the fastest players on the team. Hmm. Now, there was a video clip that went viral on, if you want to call it, like Commander's Twitter, all over the place. My buddy who does radio in Kansas City texted me and was like, dude, have you seen this video? I'm like, yep, we've all seen the video. I mean, it was everywhere. And it was Deebo seemingly sprinting, although George Kittle took to his defense and said, you guys are being ridiculous. He's jogging. This is nothing. It didn't look like he was that fast in that video. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't care about that kind of stuff because we don't know if he's sprinting. We don't know what he was doing on that rep. We don't know what the point is. It's so easy to be like a Twitter practice analyst. And I think that that can be somewhat dangerous. Now, I also don't necessarily take coaches at their word. Like, they're going to say nothing negative about guys. So I don't know. Is he actually blown away by Debo's speed? I'm not sure. But it is kind of funny that here everyone's talking about how slow he looked and big he looked. And Dan Quinn's going, you know what's blown me away is his foot
speed. His speed. Yeah, I don't know. Is this an Emmanuel Forbes corollary where he looks great before being cut 6 weeks later?
Right.
Here, I don't know if he's running a top speed or not. I'm not a speed doctor or whatever. I do know that he looks heavy. Like, that's how it looks. Now, whether that's extra padding that day or the camera angle or whatever, I do know that the only thing that I was a little bit worried about was that he would be, you know, whether it's, again, I'm overweight, but I'm talking about for a football player, right. Overweight for the football position that he plays, and that's how it looks right now.
I want to double-click on this next, because my takeaway is that, like, never to play that game off of pictures. Your point is, that is a storyline with him, because the 49ers last year said he was overweight. And so it's a factor when you see a picture and he looks overweight. I want to get into that with you next. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.